Mother Maid. That's M-A-D-E. And chasing away mother. Dear Father, we do pray, thanking you for this church, thanking you for our holy Bible, thanking you for grace, and so many other things, Lord. Now I ask that you'll be with the preaching. We do pray that you'll give me good ground, fill me with thy Spirit, for you are good, Lord. Come quickly, we pray, in Jesus' holy name, amen. We preached last week on Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4, a living dog is better than a dead lion. One reason is, the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. And I want you to look at Proverbs 19, verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. We're going to look at today at some ways that people chase away their mother, literally and figuratively. But before we do that, I want you to take a look at some blessings of motherhood. Now, I want you to see from the living dog and the dead lion, I preached on last week, the concept of preparation. See, the living are better than the dead because they can prepare for death. Once death comes, then comes the judgment, and there's no preparation time. So what we see is the concept of preparing, and that is a very biblical concept. One thing we see in the Bible is that good mothers prepare. They prepare their children. They prepare those around them. Paul tells Timothy to regard all aged women as mothers, because every woman is a mother to some degree, in some way. All women are blessed with the potential to love and nurture in that special way. Paul further uses the picture of how he himself had become a spiritual mother in some ways. There was nothing effeminate about that. It's just a picture. Just as our Lord uses the picture of a thief to describe His coming. So Paul and his provision and his love and his gentleness and the way he cherished the people, he used the analogy of a mother, as our God Himself uses that analogy. That doesn't mean that God is a she, or that you refer to Him as a she. This is just a picture. This brave new world, this snowflake insane world, despises biblical traditional motherhood. I have stressed that over and over. And just as it's been predicted and planned, we now have the destruction of motherhood in our land today. And the Bible said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You've heard of American made. That's disappearing pretty fast today. Just think about that for a second. If nothing's made in America, you know what that makes you? It makes you dependent. It makes you dependent. So now you can be controlled, because all somebody has to do now is stop the supply. And guess what? You now go without. But I want to look right now at mother maid. Mother maid. Let's look at these words in the Bible. First of all, we'll look at Genesis 18. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. She was in the tent. She wasn't on a video game somewhere. She was in the tent taking care of business. And he said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And she said, ask me nicely and I'll do it. No, this is important. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be nice, but this is, hey, we got to get this done. God's outside. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Oh, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. taking care of business, taking care of the home. What a blessing that is. Amen? We've lost that today. We've lost it. Genesis 21:19, God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. That's Hagar, taking care of her son. Taking care of her son, giving her son water, preparing her son. The most important water you can give is the water of life. But we need good water as well. One of the many reasons I moved to this area. Good water. You don't know how important that is. Genesis 27. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother. To his mother. And here's our words. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this very long, but since the beginning of creation, there's always been a special relationship between the woman and food. And that can be used for good or bad. You see the virtuous woman, wisdom, in the book of Proverbs, having a hospitality ministry, so to speak, preparing her table to use as evangelism and discipleship. But we also know that this can be used for good or bad. All gifts and all abilities can be used in a good way or a bad way. Eve fell when she was tempted to partake of toxic food. So what we see in our verse right here, Mother Made, is we see Rebecca using the blessing of her motherhood. Using the blessing of her feminine gifts in a sinful way. And I'll say again, all aspects of feminine strength can be used for the wrong purposes. Just as a man's masculine strength and gifts can be used for destruction. So the point here is, don't make a rebel. Some rebels are mother-made, Church of God. Did you know that? Some rebels are mother-made. She made his bed, but she couldn't lie in it for him. Jacob had to bear his own punishment, and he did. He did. So mamas, don't make rebels. But I want you to look at 1 Samuel 2. Back to the positive here. Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made, there it is again, made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. What do you see in that, mama? You see preparation. You see provision. Preparing him for the winter. Every single year, preparing him for the winter. Isn't that beautiful? When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice, she offered her son to the ministry for full-time service. But she provided for him a little coat every year. We see this in Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Notice, she is providing for her son the water of life. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. There it is again, a mother's provision. Bringing food from afar. That means she's very particular about what her family eats. Making sure they have the most healthy, the best food. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. So she sews and makes clothing. She stretches her hand to the poor. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. Why? Because she has prepared clothing for them. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Like Hannah, making the coat for Samuel. We see the virtuous woman preparing her household. Making sure that her family is fed. Making sure her family is prepared for the winter. I see this same godly woman in John chapter 6. And you're going to see something. You're going to see God bless. You're going to see the Lord Jesus bless that preparation in a miraculous way and multiply it. You know, what God needs is for us to step out of the boat, for us to reach forth our hand, for us to take the roof off and just believe God, to go up to the mountain and get wood and build the house. He needs us to step. God will do the miracle. God will take care of multiplying. God will take care of you. But He wants you to draw nigh to Him and step out and get something done for Him and let Him provide. He needed David to run after Goliath. And God did the miracle. God took care of the thing. But He needs you to step out, believe God, and get something done for Him. Now let me show you John chapter 6. There is a lad here, says Andrew, which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? That lad had his lunch. I believe his mama sent him out. And she said, wait a minute, you need lunch. I need to provide for you your lunch. He had no idea that his lunch, his mother's preparation, was going to be used in such a mighty way that day, that the Lord God Himself, the Messiah, the Christ, was going to take hold of that lunch and was going to multiply it and feed thousands. Isn't that amazing? There's many a mama that's given the bread of life to prepare her child. And God has used that. God has used that to feed millions, to feed thousands, to feed many. God blesses preparation. God blesses maternal preparation. I believe that when you use your blessings and distinctions, all those gifts, when you use those things, God will bless them. God will bless them. Let's look at that bread of life and water of life again. 2 Timothy 1. Paul says to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. How did Timothy get that? His dad was a Greek. How did he get it? He got it from his mama and from his grandmother. Praise God for that. You know, Song of Solomon 8, I don't know if you remember, but it shows the whole family, the older brothers and sisters, saying that if their little sister turns out to be a door, they're going to enclose her with boards of cedar. You know what that is? That's the watchful care over a little sister by the siblings. Basically, they're saying, if she gets loose, if she starts flirting with the world and getting immodest and that type of thing, and she's starting to open herself up, they're going to basically make it more difficult for her. That they're going to do everything they can to get in the way and hinder her looseness. Isn't that amazing that you've got siblings watching out so little sister doesn't become worldly? Isn't that a blessing? That's what older brothers ought to do. That's what older sisters ought to do. They ought to watch out for little sister and watch to see what hound dogs are getting near them and watch it. In other words, they ought to watch out and make sure little sister's in the right attitude and right spirit and is dressing right. Now, if the siblings, brothers and sisters, can watch over, how much more should the mother herself want to instill modesty and purity and godliness and little sister? So what we see again, it's part of the mother's preparation for her daughters and for her sons to help them grow up as walls and not as doors, to be hedged in, a garden enclosed. You say, I don't like the fact that my brother's watching me. I don't like the fact that my mother's always looking out for me. In Song of Solomon, that wife said, I am a garden enclosed. You've got something special. You've got your purity. That is a very, very precious, holy thing. It's a sacred thing. And you want to save that for your husband. And it's only right that you not be lascivious and lascivious in dress, and that your family members help you and help protect that and help you value these things. The Proverbs 31 woman She was talking to her older son, preparing him to watch out for certain women and not give his strength unto those women so he can be a good king. So I'm showing you that if it's the siblings' responsibility, how much more the mother's? It's part of her preparation. It's part of that Proverbs 31 woman to help your children grow up. Not be like the strange woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart and loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. You know what that is? That's a swinging door. That's an open door. Not a garden enclosed. And I'm going to tell you something, sisters. You're going to learn that in youth. You're going to learn that in youth. And you need to practice it in youth. And you need to get that discipline, that discretion, and that carefulness. I hope you've seen now, Mother Maid. The preparation that mothers have toward feeding, clothing, physically and spiritually, their children. But I also want you to see Proverbs 19, he that chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. If you've seen the mother's provision and how much a godly mother, what a mother can give to you, then it's very important that you do not chase away a mother. A generation has arisen that has chased away all that God says a mother should be. The traditional biblical mother has been chased away. It's been chased away from the airwaves. It's been chased away from the churches. It's been chased away from the pulpit. It's so bad now that we have a new concept of the mother. So you have some CNN reporter or news host, a man, so-called, that is now bragging that he has become a mother. That's the new mother. Welcome to the new mother, the career woman. The mother that is trying to be a rebellious teenager. I once wrote a booklet in the 90s. I think I'll bring this back out. Where is Mother? Exhorting women to be keepers at home. And it shows mom here, you know, in her mini skirt, and you've got the robot babysitter, and you've got the robot friend, or you got the entertainment here, you've got the daycare. And the child is in need, but you don't know where mother is. You don't know where mother is. Where's mother at? Where was she in Abraham's day? She was in the tent. She was in the home. And for most of history, that is where she's been. But many mothers have abandoned ship today. Mothers are being chased away, actually. What's happening is the mothers that are being godly are being discouraged. They're being chased away from godly homemaking and being a godly mother and a keeper at home. They're being intimidated, discouraged. Many of them want to do right. Praise God, there is the trad wife movement that we've been talking about that is exploding all over the world, where mothers are wanting to be mothers and not these career women, but there just is not enough encouragement toward biblical motherhood. Some are being chased away by their own children. Some are being led away by the creeps of 2 Timothy 3. But many have their godly counsel and gifts being despised. Now, you do not want sons or even daughters unable to do anything for themselves. You certainly don't want a son that's of age nursing his mother, so to speak. And the Bible says, who will God teach? Those that are drawn from the milk, those that are drawn from the breasts, that's who God's going to teach. So God's saying, when you grow up and bear the responsibility that is right for your age, God will lead you to the next step. But if you stay in baby zone, if you want to remain immature, and that's a lot of people want to remain that way because there's no responsibility. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a time when you need to grow up. You need to go to the next level of your Christian life. You've been in baby zone for a long time, and it's time for you to grow up and start bearing responsibility, bearing the burdens of others, not just walking around complaining all the time about your life and how things are affecting you and the cross you have to bear. It's time to actually bear somebody else's cross and do what you can to help others. And you handicap sons when you baby them and nurse them all the way up, some all the way up to 50 years old, still being nursed and taken care of by some type of what the psychologists call a codependent relationship. You know, it's sad. It is sad. Let your boy grow up. Now listen to me. A lot of times you've got a godly mother and you've got a son chasing away the godly mother. I'll give you an example. Y'all listening? I'd like to see young people looking and awake, not hiding, not sleeping. Because what we have today, there's a growing picture that's occurring again and again in the news where you have a teen boy or even a young man in his 20s chasing his mother out of the room and yelling because she dared to interrupt his video game. Do you know some even resort to violence or murder? I hope you women, without abuse, will discipline your children quickly and promptly for that type of disrespect. And I hope the daddy will come home once he hears about it and give him a second dose. Police said Lydia Nicholson went to check on her son in his bedroom after she heard him shouting because he grew enraged as he played a video game. And police said Nicholson argued with his mother and broke his video game headset. Then he got mad and blamed her, so he went and got a gun and shot his 81-year-old mother. Shot his mother before his 81-year-old father wrestled the weapon away. God forbid. I'm sorry to bring such a thing to you, but it's starting to be more and more in the news. Maybe not to that degree. What's going on with these devil-possessed young people? You're here to cook for me, not tell me to take out the trash or get a job. Now leave me alone. Get out of the room or I'll kill you. There are other ways you can chase away a godly mother, and it's sad. There are godly grandmothers and mothers and aunts and church mothers that are being despised as they bring instruction and warning, and they're being scorned by a generation that is rebellious. It is my goal, and it's God's goal for this church, that we have respect for the elderly, that you have respect for anybody that's older than you. That you say, yes, sir, and no, ma'am, or yes, ma'am, to these godly sisters. And that you understand it is part of biblical Christianity to respect women, to respect the sisters, and respect mothers and grandmothers. Now, I want to give a quick qualification. There have been mothers out there that have played games like Farmville. Now you keep that in mind, Farmville. How ironic. For so many generations, you had godly mothers out on the farm taking care of the farm, but now you've got them sitting on their computer playing Farmville. And you've actually had mothers that have killed their babies because their babies interrupted them while they were playing Farmville. And isn't that what abortion's all about? Child murder? The baby is a what? An interruption. She wants to go clubbing. And the baby comes along. So she has to kill the baby. Whether it's in the womb or out of the womb, it's still murder. So mothers and grandmothers can become toxic and dangerous and hurtful to the family. We know in 1 Kings 15, Micah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen. because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it. I'm not saying that you allow your mother to destroy your family, or allow your grandmother to destroy your family. But aside from a caution and this qualification, there should be an honoring, an appreciation, a gratitude for your mother, for your grandmother, and for all aged women, especially those walking in godliness. You should receive the blessings that this motherhood has to give you, and not think that somehow or another you do not need the blessings of motherhood. Or the Bible says, where is the man without the woman? Where would the man be without the woman? You would not be here without the woman after Adam and Eve. The man is of the woman and the woman of the man. Men need women. Men need women in church. And young men especially need to understand that. How much you need godly sisters. How much God will bless you if you recognize all they have to give you. Start looking at the godly women in your life and being appreciative and grateful. I want to take a look at some figurative ways that you can chase away your mother also, to your own destruction and shame. You know in the Bible that God likens Himself to a mother eagle. The Lord Jesus uses the figure of a mother hen to describe Himself. That shouldn't be some strange thing, because our Lord likens Himself to be a door. And as we already said, He likens Himself to a thief in His swiftness of coming. So if the Lord can be likened unto a mother, certainly the first application here is you shouldn't chase away the Lord and all He has to give you in His preparation and provision for you and His love for you. But many do chase away the Lord, don't they? Don't they? Many avoid the Lord. They avoid the Bible. We've seen for years downtown, people have come around the corner, and when they see that black book, oh, they begin to tremble, they begin to shun it, and they want to get far away from it. There's some that when they find out a church is godly and is going to preach that book, they want to get out as fast as they possibly can. They want to get to the door. They want to leave. They're very uncomfortable. I came to the wrong place. I don't want to come in contact with God. I'm trying to avoid God. I don't want to hear God preached. I don't want to hear God's Word preached. They're running from God's Holy Spirit. They want an unholy spirit. So you can chase away your mother, so to speak, in figure. I'm about the furthest that you could ever see to embrace this new feminist theology where you worship the goddess, or say, let's just change the Bible and turn God into a she. You know that I am so far from that wickedness, that satanic New Age one world government wickedness, that it is safe for me to say, and you can understand, that God sometimes pictures Himself as a mother eagle or as a mother hen. And that you can chase away God. And His whole point to Israel was, how often I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. You would not let me love you, is what He means. And there are so many people God wants to share His love with, to heal the brokenhearted, to help you. But people just want to keep God away. They don't want God's ways. They want to invent their own God. And when you invent your own God, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And you're going to end up doing unseemly things, and you're going to fall into sin because you now have an idol. You've created your own God. And there's no different than somebody in the jungle that has fallen. Their family lineage has fallen, so now they're headhunters, and they're naked, and they worship monkeys and whatever they can fashion out of sticks and stones. And that is not much different than a 12-step program and you saying, I'm going to worship God as I understand Him, as I create Him in my mind. My God doesn't care about standards. My God doesn't care about abominations. My God just agrees with whatever I want to do. That is an image. That is a God that you are bowing down to that is not the God of the Bible. Let me give you another picture. You know, and I have said that there is a rebirth of paganism and witchcraft as never before in our day and age. Along with this is this goddess worship, the worship of so-called Mother Earth. Now listen, they mean this literally. They are pantheists. Pan meaning world, all. They worship everything because they believe everything is God. They're mystics. They see God in themselves, God in you, God in everything, but the fundamental Christian. So therefore, the earth, the land, is worshipped as the mother goddess. Now, we know we reject that, and rightly so. Get far from that. But we need to ask whether we can see the land, the earth, as a type of mother and it not be pagan. See, a lot of people, they only have two drawers. They can't deal with a third box where you see something in the right way, in the right place, without the excesses and errors. So can we see the land as a type of mother and not be pagan? Now, if Paul and the Lord can use the figure of motherhood to describe themselves in an allegorical manner, then you should not be shocked to see the land described as a fruit-bearing mother in the Bible in many places. Does God want you to worship the earth? The Bible likens the moon to a she. Does He want you to worship the moon? Of course not. Of course not. It has nothing to do with New Age or witchcraft ideas. The sun is seen as a male in picture, in type, in the Bible. The moon is seen as female. That's very beautiful. In the Bible, the earth is seen as a she, as female, and the heaven is seen as male. Well, what does the heaven bring? The heaven brings sunshine to the earth. It brings rain to the earth. And what does that do? It makes the earth fruitful. It helps the earth be fruitful. So when you have the sun and you have the rain from the masculine sky, the feminine earth can bring forth her fruit. That's not paganism. That's biblical allegory. That's King James Bible allegory, and it's beautiful. Genesis 35, Rachel did what? She travailed. That means she was in labor pains to bring forth a child. God says in Isaiah 66, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? What does He mean by bring forth? He means labor pains. So what is He likening the earth to be? A mother. A mother. Or shall a nation be born at once? Just in case you missed the language here. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Brought forth, as a mother does. All throughout the Bible, Micah 4, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. Genesis 41, and in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. James 5, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, there's the masculine, and the earth brought forth her fruit, there's the feminine. The earth or land as a mother is a biblical figure. It is not literal truth, of course not. It is not something to worship, of course not. It's something to be a steward of. It's a picture, a type. So now let me ask you a question. Should the earth be despised? The book of Revelation says God's going to return and He's going to destroy them which destroy the earth. Today you have people neglecting some common sense. Neglecting the basics of life. Should you chase away the earth and the land? You know what we're doing today in America? You are rapidly, every year, chasing away the land. The Bible says, he that chaseth away his mother is going to come to shame and destruction. They're chasing away family farms. Hey, listen to me. A boy grows up nursing. Where do you think you're going to get your food after you nurse? It's got to come from the land. It's got to come from livestock. It's got to come from crops. That's how you eat. Even if you forage for wild things, it's got to come from the land. So the Bible says, so to speak, cursed is he that chaseth away his mother. You better think about this, Church of God. There is a chasing away of mother when it comes to the food supply in America today. And you are starting to feel it for the first time right now. You could go down to Walmart in just about any city of America and take a picture. And you'll see that there's hardly any meat left. And you say, how could this be? How could this be? How long will this be? As bees are destroyed by chemicals and pesticides, as GMO manipulation perverts God's creation, as the pesticides poison and create superbugs, it's no wonder that the Bible warns that great famines will come in the last days. And things like oil and grape juice will skyrocket in price. And God finally looks down and says, I'm going to destroy them that destroy my earth. Let's look at some headlines. Record 103,415,000 not in labor force. And they think that number is too low. And when you talk to these unemployed, they say the government is failing us. How am I going to eat? The government needs to feed me. We're going to elect the person who feeds us. What kind of government do we have that doesn't feed me? Now, I see God liking the land to your mama. And he says, get out here and take care of it. And she will provide for you. But nowhere do I ever see God likening the government to your mama. Obama is not your mama. Neither is anybody else in the government. And the government, at least in this country, the way it was set up in the Constitution, was never something that guaranteed you food. It protected your liberties. That's what it was supposed to do. Guard your border. I remember driving with Brother George, who was Lester Roloff's right-hand man, and what a blessing to have him in his elderly years in our church. And I remember driving to look for the church property that we purchased in Texas. And I remember him as I drove, as we left and got further into Mansfield and began to look left and right. I remember George shaking his head and almost getting tears in his eyes. I said, what's wrong, Brother George? He said, what's wrong? There's nowhere to put cattle anymore. And I was confused. I said, what do you mean? He said, how do you think you're going to eat if there's no cattle? He said, if you're going to turn all of this land into strip malls and you're just going to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, how are you going to eat? In his wisdom, he was seeing what was happening. See, it's one of those things that happens all around you, but you don't really see it. You just look up one day and you're like, oh, that's another pasture that became a parking lot. Oh, now there's a subdivision. Now there's a strip mall. Every time there's a parking lot and a strip mall, you get another Walmart. but you lose a place to have goats and cows and chickens and crops. So what you have is farmland being brought up and changed for other uses. Just as the mother, she used to have a purpose, a distinction, something to do. And now they say, we don't need you in the house anymore. Go down to Walmart and either be the manager or be a cashier. Go do something, but we don't need you anymore. They're saying to the family farm, we don't need the family farm anymore. Give us a Walmart. You ought to walk into some Walmarts and say, what's the matter? They say, all the meat's gone. Where do you think the meat comes from? It's not magic. It's not magic, Church of God. So one problem is that the farms are being brought up. The family farms that have been for generations in the same family are being brought up, and they are now bought, purchased, and they are now converting it to other uses. Or if they keep it a farm, they're sending the profits thousands and thousands of miles overseas to another country. You have young people that say, I don't want to farm. My granddaddy farmed, my daddy farmed, I have no desire to farm. I want to stay on the farm and drink my beer, watch TV. I don't want to farm. I want to live off Social Security or unemployment and put my feet up, watch TV and play video games. I don't want to farm. I don't want to do anything to make a living. Even the NPR says American soil is increasingly foreign owned. Today, nearly 30 million acres of U.S. farmland are held by foreign investors. That number has doubled in the past two decades. Brother, I've been preaching in the past two decades. I was preaching Jesus is coming again in the year 2000. We better get ready. We were preparing for times to come. Just since the year 2000, it has doubled, which is raising alarm bells in farming communities. With the median age of U.S. farmers at 55, many face retirement with no prospect of family members willing to take over. Ohio, like Texas, has no restrictions. And nearly 500,000 acres of prime farmland are held by foreign-owned entities. Below Toledo, companies from the Netherlands alone have purchased 64,000 acres for wind farms. Once a foreign entity buys up however many acres they want, Americans might never be able to secure that land again. Every acre of productive farmland that is converted over to something other than agriculture is an acre of land that no longer produces food. The Chinese-owned Smithfield Foods, the largest pork producer in the world, has recently bought out a couple of grain elevators where they store grain. A Chinese company now owns 146,000 acres of prime U.S. farmland. The money those elevators make will go into the pocket of someone thousands of miles away. This is going on across America. Nationwide, Canadian investors own the most farmland. In Ohio, it's Germany with 71,000 acres. So, you've got a new generation that doesn't want to farm. You've got people buying up the farmland, converting it to other uses, or using it for industrial farming, or taking the profits and putting them somewhere else than in the local community. Look at another problem. While people are sleeping and playing, if you remember the video Beyond Off Grid, you saw that just a few corporations own the entire media and much of everything else. Just about five corporations own all the media and just about everything else. It's also true of food production. So this is why there's no food in Walmart. Not because there's no cattle, but because just a few big companies own the meat processing companies. And if you shut down a few of those five, you don't have food anymore. Fox News says why farmers dump food and crops while grocery stores run dry and Americans struggle. As the coronavirus pandemic continues to wage a silent war across the country, American farmers are being forced to pour out milk, crush eggs, toss fresh fruits and vegetables, euthanize livestock, and plow under perfectly robust crops. Meanwhile, financially beleaguered Americans are lining up at food banks in unprecedented numbers. Humanitarian leaders fear a starvation pandemic worldwide is burgeoning, and grocery store shelves are sparsely filled. So what has gone wrong? A large portion of our food is now produced for restaurants, hotels, and schools, and institutional users, about 50%. Those markets have effectively closed up with the shutdown, so there's not enough demand for home use now. Dan Glickman, former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, told Fox News, nor is the supply chain set up for this rapid transformation. Now, I've seen some farmers saying, okay, we're going to figure out how to make milk in smaller packages. And you had people lined up for miles to get their milk, and they're transitioning. But a lot of them aren't able to transition like this. So they don't have the ability to go from selling to these giant businesses and restaurants to selling to you. So they just pour it out. They kill their livestock. Four companies control about 70% of meat production. That is not good, people. We no longer have a decentralized food production process, at least not to the extent of 30 years ago. That's awful quick, folks. That's awful quick that your food has disappeared right before your eyes. Before the pandemic, U.S. consumers purchased about a third of their calories and spent over half of their food dollars on food consumed outside of their home. Restaurants, fast food, schools, work cafeterias. The farmers who are dumping milk and plowing under produce have lost customers and markets that buy products in bulk. FarmAid.org. I don't know if I agree with every single answer that they have for the problem, but they do identify the problem. They say the strain on today's farm economy is no accident. It's the result of policies designed to enrich corporations at the expense of farmers and ranchers. A handful of corporations control our food system from farm to fork. As prices have dropped, production expenses continue to rise. See, I'm saying you cannot be dependent upon that grid. We have to have some people in our church that are raising animals and livestock and some local people that are still in business and able to live. And you have to support them and let them support you. And you have to get back to that. There is no other way. Or you're going to be waiting in a food line. The USDA estimates that more than half of U.S. farmers currently have negative farm income. Bankers indicate that farmers are struggling to repay their debts. The big six seed agricultural firms are consolidating into the big three. Then you have extreme weather events over the last 3 years that have continued to compound the precarious situation. RCG.org says, gone for most are the times when farmers would work together with their wives and children to feed the cows or harvest that year's crop of onions and garlic from the garden. Gone are the days when youngsters, after finishing their chores, could run down to the pond, straddle the branch of a large willow, lean back against the truck, and spend an idyllic hour watching the turtles and fish. Gone are the evening meals where families recounted the day's accomplishments. A class of society is being lost, and with it, iconic barns and sprawling rural landscapes are fading at an alarming rate. The concept of a small family farm, one that has been owned and operated by one family for possibly several generations, has been all but destroyed. I'm telling you, they chased away their mother. The number of U.S. farms fell sharply until the early 1970s, after peaking at 6.8 million in 1935. By 2002, it had gone from 6.8 million to 2.1 million farms remain. That's in 2002. Where is it now? The American Farmland Trust estimates an acre of U.S. farmland goes into development every 2 minutes. How much farmland have we lost just in the time I've been preaching this sermon? While Environment Colorado estimates the state lost 1.26 million acres of agricultural land between 1997 and 2002. Less than a third of farms have a designated successor in the family. Today, farming is looked down upon, while city-based, high-paying, white-collar jobs are glamorized. Giant agribusinesses are not just involved in local farming, but in the distribution, processing, storage, and retail of farm products nationwide. The result is that the milk you have in a carton now can contain the milk of hundreds of cows. The same can be said of the fast food burger. The huge admixture of animals in most American ground beef plants has played a crucial role in spreading E. coli. A single fast food hamburger now contains meat from dozens or even hundreds of different cattle. See, you get your hamburger, hopefully you don't, but some of you might get your hamburger down at the local fast food restaurant. When you get that hamburger, even if it's meat, to whatever degree it's meat, it's coming from like over 100 different cows. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know what country it's coming from. You don't know anything about it, hardly. So they are chasing away mother. Where is all of this growth coming from? Is it because everybody's having children and having big families? No. So where is it coming from? It has to be coming from illegal immigration. It has to be coming from open borders, people flooding America. And so you have to build houses, you have to build places for them, and they're flooding into America. And where is your farmland now? See, how are you going to eat? You've chased away your mother. Even The Guardian says how America's food giant swallowed the family farm. Across the Midwest, the rise of factory farming is destroying rural communities. In 1990, small and medium-sized farms accounted for nearly half of all agricultural production in the U.S. Now it is less than a quarter. As the medium-sized family farms retreated, the businesses that helped support them disappeared. Now we are going to rely on a few corporations to decide who is going to eat and who isn't. That is scary, folks. Let me close by giving you one more picture of mother. Matthew 12, then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Let me ask you one last thing here. Do you, young people, do you chase away those that are obedient to God in your life? If so, you're chasing away your mother. Those that bless you with light, those that can bless you with opportunity. Godly people can help you. But so many people scorn godly people. They scorn those that are obedient. They see somebody that's obeying God in modesty and holiness. They say, I don't want to be around that person. Give me somebody cool. They love it when somebody new comes into church that might be a young Christian across America. Now they have somebody worldly that they can be around, you see. You chase away your mama. The Bible said in the last days they'll be despisers of those that are good, false accusers, scorners. Some shun light. Their foolish hearts have become darkened. The Bible says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The Bible says you are to be around those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, obedient people, God-fearing people. You are meant to be around godly people. Not perfect people. I don't think you'll find many of them. But people that are trying. People that have a relative degree of holiness. That are growing and trying. And you can bear with their faults as they bear with yours. But we ought to be moving forward and exhorting one another daily. And those that fear God ought to speak often one to another. And that pleases God. But you got so many. They don't want to be around righteous people. They don't want to be around a godly church. They come to a church and they find out, oh, wait a second, this isn't a church for me. I don't want to be in an obedient church. I don't want to be in a church that preaches against much of Hollywood. I don't want to be in a godly church that teaches courting and common sense and not making provision for the flesh and teaches modesty. No! I want to despise mother and chase her away. I'm going to tell you, every time you chase away a godly Christian who's trying to help you and trying to love you, figuratively, you're chasing away your mother. And you're going to inherit shame. And this is all a picture of the coming kingdom. That millennial city that's coming down, that city to come. When you chase away the obedient Christians in your life, you're chasing away your place in that coming millennial kingdom and in that coming city. The mother of us all. So don't chase away the one that feeds you in regard to physical food, or the one that feeds you spiritually. I saw yesterday a bumper sticker. It said, "Don't talk bad about a farmer with your mouth full." And I thought about that. I said, "Hey buddy, you ought to be able to apply that to a preacher too that feeds spiritual food. And the godly obedient Christians in your life." A person gets all full and gets taught in the Lord, and then they despise the very people that have fed them. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3, they'll be unthankful. Folks, we got to get back to honoring motherhood. We got to get back to honoring what God says about motherhood. You got to get back to that. You've got to get back to respecting the aged, honoring women. You've got to get back in our day to having manners and appreciating the family meal. We got to get back to the old paths, those foundations. Because what can the righteous do if you get rid of these foundations? We got to get back to godly mothers and wives taking care of their husbands and taking care of the family and taking care of their church. We got to get back. And we got to get back to the land, folks. I'm not some great farmer. I'm learning to raise some cattle and things like that and have some horses and have some chickens. We're learning. My kids have learned how to milk cows and milk goats, and we're learning. And there's some boys that want to suck their thumb and say, "I'm too lazy for that." And you're letting them get away with it. And you're going to regret it one day. You're going to regret it one day. If you've got a boy, you got an ox. You've got something that could bring forth food. Dear Lord, I do pray that You'll bless all the women of this church. God, we thank You for them. We thank You for creating women, Father. We thank You for the blessing they are to us and how much we need them, Lord. We need their encouragement. We need their softness, their beauty, in a holy way. And Father, we know we need the family farm. So much is being chased away in our day. Being raped, so to speak, God. May more and more wake up without being New Age or submitted to the UN or world government or hugging a tree or worshiping the earth. But if You'll raise up a new generation of Christians that'll be good stewards and repent for poisoning this world, poisoning our land, poisoning the crops, poisoning the bees and the birds and the fish, and the very water we drink. And while we're at it, the very Bibles, the water of life, God, is being poisoned today. Bless us now, God. Forgive us for these sins. In Jesus' name, amen.